to procure the brachot for Yaakov from Yitzchok in a deceptive manner constitutes the most puzzling incident in the Torah. It is puzzling morally, and it is also puzzling from the point of view of common sense. It is puzzling morally because the methods adopted by Yaakov, by the advice of his mother, appear to be deceptive and fraudulent. It is puzzling from the point of view of common sense in that it is hard to understand how could a bracha that is elicited fraudulently be of any significance. Now, the Mikir HaBracha is Almighty God, and no one can be blessed if God is not blessing. And if God wants to bless a person, then the intervention of no other being is necessary. So, Mimonashach, if Yaakov was fit to be the spiritual ancestor of the Jewish people, and if it was within the divine scheme for Yaakov to mold the destiny of the Jewish nation, then why was it necessary for Rivka to urge Yaakov to elicit the brachot deceptively? And if Yaakov was not fit to be the molder of the Jewish nation, then how could a bracha mistakenly pronounced by human beings be of any effect? One thing is clear, that the bracha pronounced by the Ovis were not on the same level as the bracha pronounced by any other person. A bracha pronounced by any other person, regardless how great the person is only the expression of a wish that a person entertains, nothing more. It has no legal significant. The brachos pronounced by the Ovis had legal significance. This can be seen from a certain halacha in the Rambam. The Mishneh Nidorim says, Hanibir Mizera Avram Muter Binochri. You may say that if someone takes a vow not to have any Anoye from the Zera of Avram, he's allowed to have Anoye from the Umitel, including the children of Yishmael and the children of Esau. Gemara has the Kashe, Voike Yishmael. Why should he be allowed to have Anoye from the children of Yishmael? They are also descendants of Avram. The Gemara gives the Teret, Mishum Dichsiv Ki Yitzchok Yikore L'Chozah, because only Yitzchok can be considered as Zera Avram. The Gemara raises the question, Voyikor Bnei Esau, but why is it mutter to have Anoye from the children of Esau? They are the descendants not only of Avram, they are also the descendants of Yitzchok. The more I give the Teret, to the Yitzchok, the Loi Kol Yitzchok. When the Rambam passed this halacha in Pirkei Avos, Der Rambam weiß es fallen. Hanede ja misera Avrom Mutter, bisne Ishmael und bisne Isha. Shenema, ki zi Yitzchok ikore lecho Zora. Vinema, ויתן לך הסביר את אברום וכל וברכו איתוך ורישתך את ארץ מגורךו ותנות המלכים ואברום. So, בני איסוף cannot be considered as זרע אברום because the ברוכה of אברום was transmitted by יצחוק to יעקב. Nothing. We thus see that the ברוכה of יצחוק had the effect of excluding איסוף from Zer Avram. And Yitzchok could through a broche bestowed upon Esav include the children of Esav in the Zer Avram. We thus see that the broche of Yitzchok had legal effect. It was not a mere expression of a wish. But through the broche, Yaakov became the exclusive Zer Avram. Of course, we have to understand the significance of a broche pronounced by a person, even though the person happened to be one of the others. פרום, כו אברום, התחילו נעשה אב לארום ומצטייס נעשה אב לכל העולם כולו. ואברום was declared as an אב לכל העולם כולו, a father of all men, of weak men, of all those men that are נכנס תחת קמתי עצמי. And this is a הלוך. It's not just a mere appellation that אברום had. We find that the Rambam patterns that when a ger is mezi bikurim, he can be mezi vikere. And this is a Yerushalmi in bikurim. Because Avram is av hamoyim lechol agoy. And the Rambam Nitzura says that when a ger doesn't, he can say Yelakeinu v'lekei avitein. He doesn't have to say Yelakeinu v'lekei avoyis Yisrael. Avis Yisrael, but Eretenu Eretei Avisim. Why? Because Avram is Av Hamon Goyim, and what is true of Avram is true also of the other one. That means that a Jew is considered Zera Avram in a double sense, in Zera Yitzchok and Zera Yaakov. First, because biologically he is a descendant of Avram. And this is Elohim, B'nei Bonim Arim Kibonim. Secondly, spiritually, he is considered as an Avram. A ger is not a descendant biologically of Avram, but still, he can say Elokeinu Elokei Aviteinu, and he can be carried the part of the cross. He can say Atam Yisbato Aviteinu Rosh Hashanah. So, the Oreis, and what is true of the Emois, what is true of the Oveis is also true of the Emois, because Chazal say, in Keirin Oveis Elo Lishresho, the Emois Elo Le'abo. So, Rochel and Leo are considered the Emois of the whole Knesset Yisrael. Biologically, Rochel was a mother only of two tribes of Yisrael. And Leo was not the mother biologically of all the tribes. Still, we designate Rochel and Leo, each one of them, as mothers of Israel. In the same sense that Avram is designated as Av Hamon Goyim, so also all the Emois are considered mothers of all Israelites. In a spiritual sense. Now, Chazal say in reference to the prophet, מרישור ימרנו ומגבוי יתעשורנו. מרישור ימרנו ומגבוי יתעשורנו. מרישור ימרנו אילו אבייס ומגבוי יתעשורנו אילו אימוי. This means that mothers in Israel are analogous to a hill, and fathers in Israel are analogous to a top of the hill, Reisor. Why? Now, this is manifested by a certain halacha, namely the din that mishpachat ha'av chuyo mishpachot, mishpachat ra'im eino chuyo mishpachot, on one hand, and the din that whenever there is a mixed marriage between a Jew and a non-Jew, then the child traces its pedigree after the mother. If both parents, father and mother, are Jewish, then the pedigree is traced after the father. If the father is a Kohen and the mother is not, so the child is a Kohen. The father is a Yisrael, the mother is a Bas Kohen, the child is a Yisrael, not a Kohen. But if there is a mixed marriage, if one of the parents is a father, if one of the parents is a Jew and one of the parents is a non-Jew, so then the pedigree is traced after the mother. This is our law. It is indispensable. But there is a psychological insight inherent in these laws. And this psychological insight is implicit in the Maimah Chazal, Mereisuri Merenu, Eilu Oris, Mitvoi Sashorenu, Eilu Imoi. If both parents are Jewish, so both are endowed to Yidush HaShishroi. But one of the parents has a thesis, which is a care. The father is a care, or a lady. The mother not. The mother is not endowed with this excess of Kedusha. But the Kedusha, he can have from the mother. Then it is the father who can endow the child with princess Kedusha, with an excess of this. But if one of the parents is not Jewish, so then it depends. If the mother is Jewish, then the mother can endow the child with this. But if the mother is not Jewish, the father has Kedusha Yisrael, a father cannot endow a child with this. Only a mother. If it's a question of Toifes Kedusha, then the father can do it, and only the father. But the fundamental, the basic Kedusha, can be given to a child only by a mother. If there is a mixed marriage, then it's a question of Kedusha and no Kedusha. The father cannot endow a child with Kedusha. But if both are Jewish, so the Kedusha, the basic Kedusha, is given to the child by the mother. But as to any excess of Kedusha, any special degree of distinction, that can be given to the child by the father. The Jewish nation had to have fathers and mothers, because Kedusha Yisrael manifests itself in two ways. First, it manifests itself on an individual level. Then, Kedusha Yisrael manifests itself also on a collective level. And that can be seen halachically. There is a discussion in the Mishnah and Malach as to whether the Ovi said it did Yisrael or the Ovi said it did Benef. Actually, there is a machlekes chesedim on that point. The Ramban, in his Pirush, at the end of Emoyer, in connection with the Mikarel, mentions two views. One view that the Ramban cites in the name of the Chachmei Tzofat is that until Matan Torah, the Israelites did not have Kedusha Yisrael. And then the Ramban rejects that view, and he says משום שנכנס אברהם אבינו בברית, he became endowed to reduce us Israel, and all the children of Avram, even prior to Matan Torah, had this Israel. There is a raya for the Ramban city, because the Gemara in Gdushin says that Esav was an Israel Muma. The Gemara tried to deduce the halacha that Enochi is Yerish from the Potty to Yerushalayim Esav Nathan. The Gemara refutes that right. The Gemara says, the Dilmo Yisroel Mumata. This implies that Esav was a Yisroel. If Esav hadn't been a Yisroel, if Esav had not been endowed to reduce as Yisroel, how could he become a Yisroel Mumata by being greater with Arbatron? This is a raya for the Shittas Rambam. On the other hand, there is a raya for the Shittas Chachmei Tzofas. In the Gemara in Yevamos, the Gemara says that when a non-Jew wants to become Jewish, so he has to undergo Milat Tzvila Zikor, and we deduce it from the Israelites Pishat Matan Torah. Because at Matan Torah, so there was Milah and Tzvila and Kol. This is the Gemara in Yevamos. So this means, this implies, that at Matan Torah, the Israelites became endowed to Yiddush Yisrael. And the whole halacha that to become endowed to Yiddush Yisrael, one must go through Milah, Tzvila, and Atzeres Korban, is deduced from the analogy of Matan Torah. So the question arises, according to the Ramban, that the Oveis and their children had Yiddush Yisrael, so the Tzvila that the Israelites before Matan Torah had to undergo was not for the purpose of becoming endowed with Yiddush Yisrael. This is some other reason. So how can we deduce that the going in order to become an Israel must undergo Tzvila and they must bring the Korban? So the answer is that there are two concepts of this. There is the concept of Yiddush Yisrael on an individual level. Every Jew as an individual has Yiddush Yisrael. And there is the concept of Yiddush Yisrael on the collective level. Israel as a nation, as a people, as a collective, has Yiddush. That means that only at Matan Torah the Jews became endowed with Yiddush Yisrael as a people. Yiddush Yisrael on an individual level, that originated with Avram, the Shor Shenichnas Lebrit. For this reason, he saw the beginning of Israel Muma. But Yiddush Yisrael on a collective level, that arose at Matan Torah. So, to become endowed with Yiddush Yisrael on an individual level, one has to be a child in a biological sense. Yitzchak was the son of Avram, he therefore was endowed with Yiddush Yisrael. And Yaakov, similarly, and Esau, similarly. Even though Esau did not follow the path of God as it was taught by Avram, but he was a son of Esau. Therefore, he was the son of Yitzchak and he was the son of Rivka. So the mother endowed him with Yiddush Yisrael. But to become endowed with Yiddush Yisrael in collective sense, the Jews had to have a father and a mother, father and mother. And they had to have spiritual fathers and mothers. Who were the spiritual fathers and mothers of all the Israelites? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Torah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. They were the spiritual fathers and mothers of all the Israelites. A Ger and a Gerah are not children in any biological sense. They are only children in spiritual sense. How are the children? Because of Aramim going to Tachichol and get a price order. And all the money. So, in order to become a father, in a biological sense, there was no need for adoption. That's explained by itself. Whether the child likes to be a son of the parent or not, he's a son anyway. Whether a parent wants to be the parent of a child or not, he's a parent anyway. But to become a parent and a child in a spiritual sense, in the same way as a girl becomes a child of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, in a spiritual sense, then there is need for adoption. Now, the halacha does not have the legal concept of adoption. According to the halacha, one who is not a parent cannot legally become a parent. And one who is a parent cannot legally divest himself of parenthood. But the concept of adoption is acknowledged by the halacha in respect to the Aves HaUma and the Imoyes HaUma. There was need for adoption in order that Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov should become the spiritual parent of children. And this is the significance of the Birkas Aves. Hanedea Mizera Avraham is Muta. You may say, even there is, but the Yitzchak he called the Chazara. Yitzchak was a child of Avraham, he was there Avraham. And if Yitzchak was there Avraham, was a child of Avraham. So it follows, in light of the halacha of Nebonim Arim Tibonim, that Esav is also a child of Avraham. True, he is a child of Avraham. He was a son of Yitzchak. But Zerah means seed. That's the literal meaning of Zerah. Kibiyit Chakikora, when Hashem said to Avraham, Kibiyit Chakikora lechazara, so Hashem said, in effect, not only that Yitzchak is a child of Avraham, but that Yitzchak will be the seed through whom the tree of the Umar Yisrael will be grown. In order that Yitzchak should become the seed for the future generation, it was necessary that Yitzchak adopt the child. If Yitzchak had not transmitted the bracha of Avraham, then they would have been children in a biological sense. But in a spiritual sense, they wouldn't be children. And if in a spiritual sense they wouldn't be children, the descendants of Yitzchak, the descendants of Yaakov, so then there couldn't the concept of Kedushas Yisrael on a collective level could not take effect. In order that someone should become endowed to Kedushas Yisrael on a collective level, he had to have his spiritual ancestor. And the spiritual parenthood of Yitzchak and of Yaakov had to take place through adoption. Not through birth. And this was the purpose of the Mechira Choyot. It was the right for adoption by Yitzchak that Yaakov tried to get from Esav. Now the halacha was that no one can become a spiritual ancestor of the Umar Yisrael merely by birth. He has to prove himself worthy of being a spiritual ancestor in order to become one. And if he proves himself worthy of being a spiritual ancestor, then he can become one through an adoption proceeding. and the bracha of the oven constituted the adoption proceeding. The adoption proceeding of Esau or of Yaakov as a spiritual son, as he said, as one through whom the tree of Israel will be grown. Now, every child needs the attention of his father and his mother. No one can attain great heights without the affection that is given to him or to her by his father and his mother. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who was destined to be that Bain Kolanvin, could not, according to our sages, attain communion with God at the outset without the medium of his heart. And the Medrash tells us that when Hashem had to reveal himself to Moshe for the first time, so he said, Iman Nizgaler Olol, be clearly, Huyim Misavis, to become frightened. Rikach et galay of Bikorei Shala Oviv, Amram. God revealed himself for the first time to Moshe in the voice of Amram, his father. Why? Because the voice of Almighty God is too sublime for a person to take notice of. God reveals himself to men for the first time only through the medium of the voice of the father and the mother. Now, at the beginning of creation, when Hashem called out to Adam and Chava and said, Ayeka, Adam and Chava hid themselves before God. This seems to be strange. Isn't it the greatest privilege that a person can attain? To have communion with God, to hear the voice of God. And they attained this truth of hearing the voice of God, and still they hid themselves. Why? The answer is, Adam and Chava were the first people in the world. They had neither a father nor a mother. Hashem could not have revealed himself to Adam and Chava through the medium of a father and a mother. Consequently, they could not have communion with God. Israel is loved by God. Why? The Navi says, "Now Israel, where are you?" Because Israel is like a child. God was able to reveal himself to Israel through the medium of fathers and mothers. So in order that Israel might become endowed with this Israel on a collective level, they had to have fathers and mothers. And fathers and mothers, not in a biological sense, but fathers and mothers through adoption proceedings. If the father and mother is one that takes, if the parenthood of the father and the mother takes effect through adoption proceedings, then we know that he is fit and worthy to be a child in a spiritual sense. And this was the reason as to why the parenthood of the Ovid in respect to Israel had to take effect through a bracha. Bracha means adoption proceeding. And of course, it goes without saying that the bracha would not be pronounced by the Ovid, except even the opinion in the judgment of the Ovid, a child was fit to be a spiritual heir of the Ovid. Now, Yitzchak had two sons, Esau and Yaakov. There is a distinction between Yishmael and Esau. In respect to Yishmael, he did not even have the potential to become the molder of the Knesset Yisrael. To be Yitzchak is called a Chazan. Yishmael was excluded from birth. He was excluded. Why? So the Ramban says, because Yishmael was not the son of Tom. Yishmael was the son of Hagar. And in order to be an ancestor of the Jewish people, one must have a father and a mother. Avram and Sarah, they didn't have spiritual fathers and mothers. Terach was a biological father, he was not a spiritual father. But Avram and Sarah were exceptions. So it was all right for Avram to be one of the others, even though he himself did not have a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. But the other others, they had to have a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. Yishmael was out. He had no mother. And who can endow a child with the basic desire? That's only a mother. Hagar could not endow Yishmael with the potential to become an ancestor of Israel. But Esau, he had the same father as Yaakov, he had the same mother as Yaakov. He had the potential of becoming an ancestor of the Ummah HaYisrael. And there was no, at the outset, there was no divine decree that Esau will be excluded. No, Esau was Israel from birth. He was endowed with individual bishop. But the question arose, will Esau be the one who will mold Israel as a nation, who, as a collective, will be endowed with Bishat Israel? That was not determined by Esau or Yaakov's birth. By Esau and Yaakov's birth, it was only determined that Esau and Yaakov's individuals were endowed with Bishat Israel. But as to whether they will be able to mold the character of Israel as a nation, that remained to be seen. And there was no divine decree as yet. Who was to become the molder of Israel's destiny? At the birth of Yaakov and Esau, there had been only two of them, Avram and Yitzchak. Who is to become the third one? So the contest was between Esau and Yaakov. And Esau had a choice. He had the prerogative, the freedom of will, to become the molder of the destiny of Israel. Then the three others would have been. I don't like to talk in the subjunctive, but this is what we gather from the Torah, that it could have been if Esau had chosen the right path to follow up the path of Avram, then Esau would have been the third member of the Oreis. And Yaakov would be like one of the Shvatim. And this is what Yitzchak wanted. This is what Yitzchak was endeavoring towards. That Esau should become the spiritual heir. Now Yitzchak did not aspire that Yaakov should be excluded, Hashem. But he wanted Yaakov to be one of the tribes, of the pillars of Israel. But Esau should be one of the founders, one of the ancestors, an equal footing within Yitzchak and Avram. Why? Was it a matter of prejudice on the part of Yitzchak? Of course not. And why did Rivka aspire that Yaakov should become the ancestor of the Jewish nation? The answer is that Rivka and Yitzchak knew very well that three requisites of parenthood for Israel. In order to become spiritual ancestors of Israel as a collective, then there have to be certain prerequisites. Rivka took notice of the fact that Yaakov did not possess all the prerequisites. Yaakov was an Ishtam, Yeshiv Ali. Yaakov did not have any inclination towards evil. Yaakov was inclined towards good. Yaakov did not have any innate aggressiveness. Yaakov always tried to withdraw himself into seclusion, isolate himself with intent. Yaakov did not have the spirit of fighting for his own life. It was the superabundance of good that inhered in Yaakov, which impressed Yitzchak with the notion that Yaakov is incapable of becoming the spiritual ancestor of Israel. Yaakov can be a tribe in Israel, but he cannot be the founder of Israel. Because in order to become a founder of Israel, one must have the spirit of fighting back, of defending his rights. Yaakov read that. He didn't have it. He was an Ishtam, Yeshiv Olim. Now, the Rambam, the Shemayna Prophet, mentions that there are two kinds of ethical personality. There is the Chosid Amiule, and there is the Meishel Biruchim. The Chosid Amiule is that type of a person who from birth, from the womb of his mother, he is inclined towards everything that is good and noble. This is the person who has no innate lust, who has no jealousy, who has no drive towards anything that is bad. That's the Chosid Amiule. And then there is another type of an ethical personality, that is the Moishel Beruchim. This represents the person who has a great deal of physical energy within him and who has certain urges that can drive him towards evil, but who exercises restraint and control over himself to such an extent that he molds his own character. That is the nature of the world. And the Rambam raises the question, which ethical inclination is, or ethical potential, is on a higher level? And the Rambam makes a compromise. He says that in reference to those mitzvahs which are dictated by the ethical conscience, the Chosid Amiule is the laudable quality. But in respect to those commandments which are not dictated by the ethical consciousness of man, the Meishel Beruchim represents the more laudable quality. And he cites the memory of by Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Al Yema Rodom, Yefshi Lo Vialei Avo, Yefshi Lechel Tachazir, Yefshi Lil Vichachni, Elo Efshi Vyefshi, Umo Efe, Odin Sheva Shamayim, Gozer Alay, Zerashu. This tends to indicate that the Meishel Beruchim represents the more laudable quality. But how can we say that if a person is driven by an urge to kill, by an urge to steal, by an urge to rob and to assault people, but he controls himself, that he's on a higher level than the one who is driven by an urge to help out and to the good? So he makes that compromise. That in reference to those mitzvahs which are dictated by ethical consciousness, they are the Chosid Amiule represents the laudable quality, whereas in respect to the Mitzvah Shimiyot, the Meishel Beruchim represents the laudable quality. Now, not all Rishonim agree with the Rambam's concept. There are some who believes that the Mayfield Beruche represents a more laudable quality in respect to all commandments. Because the one who is driven by nerves to the good does not deserve so much credit as the one who is driven by nerves to do evil, and who controls himself, and who restrains himself, and who overpowers himself, and who molds his own character. But even according to the Rambam, there are certain dimensions in the realm of morality. All those commandments which are not dictated universally by the conscience of men, in respect to these dimensions, the Meisel Beruche is the more laudable quality. Now, Israel had to comply with all kinds of commandments. Commandments which are dictated by ethical consciousness in man, and commandments which are not dictated universally by the ethical consciousness of man. Now, concepts of tzniut is not something that is universally dictated by the ethical consciousness of man. There are many people in whom the concept of tzniut is not innate at all. So the spiritual ancestors of Israel as a nation, in the judgment of Yitzhak, had to be moist in the Ruham, not Chotid Meura. Yaakov was a Chotid Meura. He had no inclination towards lust, towards covet, towards kinah, none whatsoever. From birth, he was a perfect human being. He was driven by an endeavor to have communion with God, endeavor towards sanctity, endeavor towards righteousness. There was no inclination towards aggressiveness, an inclination towards kino type of courage in Yaakov. For Yaakov to assert himself as an individual, Yaakov had all the potential that is required. But for Yaakov to assert himself not only as an individual, as one who is endowed with this atmosphere on an individual level, but for Yaakov to assert himself as the spiritual ancestor of Israel as a collective, as an ancestor of a nation that is endowed with this atmosphere in a collective sense. So, the Meisel Beruche potential was necessary. Because only one who had the spirit of fighting back, spirit of control, of mastery over oneself. How can one exercise mastery over others if he doesn't need it to mold his own character? So that was required, and Yaakov wrecked this potential, the potential of aggressiveness. Now, Yadus does not advocate the notion that prevails among the non-Jews, that the Yetzer Hara can only be the source of evil, and the Yetzer Tov can only be the source of good. The Halacha declares, "Va'aster es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'chol nafshecha u'chol nidecha b'shnei Yetzerecha, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara." We can love God with both the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. This means that the Yetzer Tov is not always the source of Avodat Hashem, and the Yetzer Hara is not necessarily the source of tumor, the source of evil. The Yetzer Hara can become sublimated to a higher level, so that the same inclination that ordinarily serves as the source of all the evil that is in the world, of tumor and lust and arrogance and tyranny and bloodshed, can be sublimated to such a lofty level that it will become the source of all the good. The Yitzhak himself can be sanctified, and it is the task of every person to sanctify the Yitzhak. And this is the aim that the Torah has, to sanctify, to elevate the Yitzhak, to sublimate it to a higher level, so that The Yitzhak Hara, which is ordinarily the source of evil, will become the source of the truth. Now, this concept is actually implicit in the Maimah Chazal, the Tvash Tzai. Rechma elachem vikachli mishom shnigdo yeyizim toivim. V'efe yisomatamim lovicho kateroi. The Medrash makes a comment upon this passage. Toivim shein teivim recho, shein teivim ribonecho. Teivim recho shal yideyem ata tikadu le sabrochi. Teivim ribonecho shal yideyem bonecho yulem kaporo v'yem ata tikadu. Mishnei tziri, that the king Godel had to offer, to sacrifice, the soil Hashem and the soil Azot. Correspondent with the two Yidin that Rivka used as Matamim for Yitzchak. What do the two Yidin symbolize? Now, the symbolism of the two Yidin is reflected in the Halacha of Kapore and Yom Kippur. The King Godel had to be matched one, so he had to bring two theories. And the two theories had to be the same. They had to be Shovin, Bimare, Ubikemo. As a matter of fact, they had to be members of an identical twin. Otherwise, how could they be? How could they be the same? And the King Godel was to cast lots, whereby he was determined which goat was to become in soil Hashem, and which goat was to become in soil Adam. And before the King Godel pushed his hands into the kalp, into the back, to take out the Geholei, so no one could know which goat is destined to become the soil Hashem, and whose dam, whose blood will be sprinkled on the wall, and which goat is destined to become the soil Azazel, who will also be sacrificed, but in some unknown place, no one will know where and for what. Now this halacha of Shnei Tzairim represents the concept that one should not think that if certain people prove themselves saintly and ethical as adults, whereas others prove themselves as rascals and scoundrels, that the one who as an adult is recognized as a saint was born a saint, and the one who in adulthood is considered by everybody as a scoundrel, that he was born a scoundrel. The one who ultimately is considered by everyone as a scoundrel, and the one who ultimately is considered as a saint, came into the world the same. And sometimes it is one accidental fact that determines the destiny of the of these two. You can have two brothers, members of an identical twin. One will ultimately become a saint, and the other one will ultimately become a scoundrel. It is only an accidental fact, the putting of the hand into the culture, that determines the development of a child, the outcome of a certain individual. I once mentioned the story 2 years ago of a certain boy who was brought up by parents who never visited the synagogue, even in Kippur, not even in Reform Temple. And that boy ultimately became a student of Torah Dar. And I knew the boy very well. I still know him. The boy, so I once inquired from him as to his background, So he told me the whole story. His parents were very religious. But they were also poor. They could not afford to send a child to a good camp. So they decided they will send the child to a charitable camp. But they don't have to pay, or they have to pay very little. So they got hold of a list of camps. Well, all the camps were mentioned in alphabetical order. So in that list there was Camp Agude. And that Agude is with an A. So he didn't know the parents didn't know the difference between one camp and the other. Agude was the first camp that they noticed. They decided to send that boy to Camp Agude. And that was the putting of the hands into the cauldron. And that determined the destiny of the boy. The same boy, if the parents had noticed another camp, where the child becomes completely alienated from any spiritual value, then he would not have grown up. Maybe he would not even have grown up as a Jew. Maybe he would have grown up as a Catholic, or maybe he would have grown up in some prison or an institution for delinquents. But it was this act of sense to determine the destiny of that boy. So this is what the halacha of Torah Mitzaleach teaches us, that we should not think that certain individuals are born to become saints and certain individuals are born to become scoundrels. It is true that certain children are born with an inclination towards good. And certain children are born with excessive energy and with an inclination towards aggressiveness and lust and evil. But even the child who is born with excessive energy can be brought up in such a way that this energy will be sublimated to a higher level. And the same energy that ordinarily would have become the source of all evil could become the source of good. It depends upon the environment in which you'll be brought up and about the kind of upbringing that the parents will resort to. Now, Yaakov was born a Chassidah Mehura. Rivka knew that he was born a Chassidah Mehura, and Yitzchok knew that he was born a Chassidah Mehura. He had no inclination toward evil. He was perfect as an individual, but he could not become a spiritual ancestor of a Jewish people, because in a people you have all kinds of individuals. You have individuals who are born with excessive energy, who are born with a tendency towards evil, and whose energy has to be channeled properly. So the ancestor must himself be a major little thing. Yitzchok consequently came to the decision that Yaakov is incapable of molding the destiny of Jewish nation. He can be one of the tribes, but not the ancestor. Esav, however, he was not born a Chassidah Mehura. He was born with excessive energy, with a tendency towards aggressiveness and towards lust, and towards arrogance. But he had the potential of becoming a Moshe Beruchim. He had the heroic features and traits of character within him to fight back and to give way his life for his aims, for his ideals. Yitzchok knew very well that Esau was an Ish HaSadeh. And Yitzchok liked Esau because of the fact that he was an Ish HaSadeh. Why did he love him so much? Because Yitzchok himself was an Ish HaSadeh. Yitzchok Vayetzi, Yitzchok Rosua HaSadeh. Yitzchok was not born in Chassidah Mehura, that is was. Yitzchok was born with heroic traits within him, with the spirit of war. And Yitzchok refused to withdraw into his own tent. We see that in this week's Seder, that Yitzchok was incapable of becoming frustrated, of becoming discouraged. ויגדל איש, וילך, הולך לגודל, עד כי גודל מי. He grew, and he became prosperous, והיא לא מתנקנו ותנברת, או ידעו כאן בפרק and herd, ועבודה רבו. A considerable household, ויקרו את הפלישטים, הפלישטים מכם גרזרם. וכל הביר את השחוף פעדי, אורי זמי אברום אבי, סיטמום פלישטים, וימרו מבו. They filled up all the bailies, all the roads that Avram dug. And Vayimer Avimelech al Yitzchok leich mimonu to come to Menemei. He told him to leave, to go into exile. Vayimer Misham, now Yitzchok could have resorted to the middle of chaos, of fighting back physically. But Yitzchok, he had that within him. But he refused to do that. Because Yitzchok possessed not only Keach, he also possessed Gruha. He possessed Gruha. Keach means the ability to fight back. Gruha means the ability to not to succumb without using force. The ability to refrain from using force even when it is backed up by all the concepts of right. Yitzchok were perfectly justified from the point of view of ethics and morality to use force against the servants of Avimelech. The Bereis were his. Avram is father dog these Bereis. They had no right to fill them up, to stop them. But he refused to do that. He did not want to resort to the middle of chaos. He preferred to resort to the middle of Gvura. What does Gvura mean? Gvura means refrain from fighting back, but at the same time, not to give up. So what do you do? Vayicham b'nachal Gros, he encamped in the valley of Gros. He moved into the outskirts of Gros. And there, he tried again. Vayoshev Yitzchok, vayachter as Beir Samayi, as a chofur me Avram. And again, vayfatnu plishtim. And he still didn't fight that. Because he felt that he is able to assert himself by resorting to the middle of Gruach. Yitzchok was determined to resort to Keach, to physical force, only at the last resort. But as long as he felt that there are other places where he can dig wells, he did not resort to Keach. Again, Vayach Beru Aviv from Banochar, Vayim Tishom, Beyamayim Chayim, Vayorivu Rei Korim Rei Yitzchok, Vayimalona Amayim, Vayitchoshim Abir, In other words, he did not give up his rights. He did not forego on his rights, the Beirei. He called it Eisek, so that everybody would know that he did not give up his rights. He declared before everybody that he is the rightful owner of these Beirei. But he refused at that moment to use force. And then, Vayach Beru Beir Acheret, Vayorivu Gamorel, so much perseverance that Yitzchok possessed. Yitzchok represents the middle of Gvura. Gvura that was coupled to his Keach. Yitzchok was determined to use Keach as well. At the last resort. But as long as it was not absolutely indispensable for the assertion of his right, so he avoided the fight. But he did not withdraw into his tent. He persevered in his endeavors to dig wells. And he did not forego on his right. He declared before everybody, "This is mine. You are just one of them, robbers!" And he called it Sitno and Deisek. He fought back. He tried to avoid the use of physical force. As far as he can. But he fought back anyway. He had the spirit of fighting back. He was a Meshul Beruche, he talked. But Yaakov was not a Meshul Beruche, he was a Hasid Amule. How can he become the founder of the Jewish nation? How can he mold the destiny of the Jewish people? If he does not have the spirit of fighting back, if he's always inclined to withdraw into his own tent and avoid the fight, you have the perseverance
by fighting back.
So, Yitzchak decided Esau is the only one that can become the founder of the Jewish nation. Esau has a lot of excessive energy. He has aggressiveness, innate aggressiveness, but that aggressiveness can be curbed, it can be sublimated, and channeled properly. And when it is channeled in Esau, then he'll be able to couple the Esau cave and the Esau. And then the same spirit of aggressiveness that seemed to be a source of evil could become an Esau source of good. And that was Yitzchak's dream, that someday Esau will recognize that he must curb himself. He must curb his potential and channel his potential properly, supplement it to a high level. But in order that a child should be able to assert himself properly, in order that a child should be able to take advantage of the maximum potential that in years in the child, then he must have the light of Ishmael. He must have God guidance. And God guides everyone. In a certain sense, God reveals himself to every child. But God, when he reveals himself, when God guides a person, when God guides a child, God reveals himself and guides the child only through the medium of father and mother. Esau could not get the guidance of God without the medium of Yitzchak. So Yitzchak decided that he must give Esau all the affection and all the attention. More attention than to Yaakov. Because Yaakov, as an individual, was able to assert himself anyway without any special affection on the part of Yitzchak. Because Yaakov was a Chosid Amura. And as the mother of the Jewish nation, Yitzchak thought, Yaakov will never be able to become the spiritual ancestor, because he was a Chosid Amura. He possessed a superabundance of good in him. He did not have the spirit of fighting back. So he decided to devote himself completely to Esau, and thereby elevate Esau, and enable him to see that he must channel his potential properly, sublimate his potential properly, so that he could couple the Yitzchak and Yitzchak, and make a harmonious blending of the two. And become thereby the ancestor of the Jewish nation. But Rivka had a different judgment. Rivka knew very well what Chazal say in connection with the passage, "Mirishurim erenu mitvoyis asherenu." Mirishurim erenu elo avis, umitvoyis asherenu elo imoy. So Rivka knew very well that it is impossible for his father to bring, to galvanize the maximum potential within the child. If the mother is unable to do the major part of the work, who can go up, ascend the mountain of God? But if someone is not a Chosid Amiula, and he has to channel his potential properly, then someone must teach him how to climb the mountain of God. You have to work against the force of gravity, against the pull of the Yitzhara, which tries constantly to engulf the human conscience, the soul and everything, into the abyss. So the mother is the one who can help and who can train the child to climb through the major part of the earth. And only if the mother has already succeeded in teaching the child how to climb through the major part of the earth, then the father can take over and bring him to the peak. Becoming an ancestor of the Jewish people represents the peak. The peak of the mountain of God. Rivka felt that Yitzchak will be unable to bring Esau to the peak. because before you can reach the peak, you must climb through the major part of the earth. That must be done by the mother, Rivka tries. Shouldn't think that Rivka was prejudiced against her son. He tried very hard, but he suffered no relationship with his mother. Consequently, Rivka knew that if he suffered no relationship with his mother, he didn't care for his mother. He cannot be helped. He cannot be brought to the peak of the mountain of God. You talk and I'll do it. Even if he showers all the love and all the affection, all the attention upon him, he'll be unable to do it. He can only take over after Asaph had climbed through the major part of the hill. That Asaph couldn't do. Only Rivka and Rivka felt unable to do it. Because Asaph refused to have a relationship with his mother. And God reveals himself to men only through the medium of the father and the mother. As a little child, God reveals himself to a child through the medium of the mother, and then God reveals himself to the child through the medium of the father. Asaph missed that in his early childhood. He could not be brought to the peak by Yitzchak. This is the reason as to why Rivka was convinced that Asaph will never become the founder of the Jewish people. But who then will become? Hashem said to Yitzchak, he called Hazara. Out of Yitzchak's seed will the Jewish people be stemmed. If Asaph is out, then she has an assurance by God that Yaakov will become. But how can Yaakov become? Now, Yaakov certainly had a proper relationship with his mother. Rivka was able to take him and to hold his hand while Yaakov was climbing on the mountain of God, step by step, round by round. But Rivka can only take him to the major part of the mountain of God. Rivka cannot make him into an ancestor of the Jewish people, because that represents the peak of the mountain of God. That can be done only by Yitzchak. But how can it be done? But Yitzchak refuses to listen. Yitzchak is convinced that Yaakov is incapable of imprinting within himself a spirit of aggressiveness, inasmuch as he lacks that in interest. At the same time, Yitzchak is convinced, and he's confident, that someday Esau will decide to channel his potential properly and sublimate it to higher level. How can she convince Yitzchak that, on one hand, Esau will never acknowledge the fact that he must impose a curb on his excessive energy, and that on the other hand, Yaakov can be helped. And even though he's a chosidan ule, he has no aggressiveness within him, he has no spirit of koyach and gvura, but it can be implanted within him. So Rivka decided to resort to this method of so-called deception, which was inspired in Rivka by Ruach HaKodesh, as Rivka says, or like a lost problem, be Ruach Yisamro, Rivka. That had to be done. And why did God have to resort to such methods? Because God did not want Yaakov to become the founder of the Jewish nation unless he had all the prerequisites that are indispensable towards a perfect parenthood of the Jewish nation. And that involved also a certain degree of keach and ruach, a spirit of keach and ruach, which innately Yaakov lacked, the spirit of perseverance, that had to be implanted in him. And how can we implant a spirit of keach and ruach in individuals? By forcing the individual to face certain challenges in life. Yaakov was inclined to retire and to withdraw in his hand, but Rivka forced him to face the challenge. The challenge of deceiving Yitzchak. And it was not really deceiving, because through this so-called deception, Rivka prevailed upon Yitzchak that he was right in her judgment, not Yitzchak. Because, first of all, Yitzchak realized for the first moment in his life that the spirit of aggressiveness could be implanted in Yaakov. But Yaakov did not collect it completely. Now, how could you implant in a person something that he doesn't possess, that he doesn't? Psychologists will say that. Something that a person does not possess cannot be implanted. But sometimes certain kechetanefes are latent within an individual. These kechetanefes are absorbed in a deep slumber. So we have to galvanize these latent qualities. It's not that Yaakov did not have the keach of perseverance. He did not have the spirit of keach and ruah. He had it. He was the son of Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the symbol of ruah. But it was latent within Yaakov. It had to be galvanized. How can it be galvanized? Simply by forcing Yaakov to face the most delicate challenges in life with which one could be confronted. And by urging Yaakov to put on Esau's garment, and by impersonating Esau, he thereby galvanized the latent quality of aggressiveness that inhered in Yaakov. And then Yitzchak, when he realized that it was Yaakov, not Esau, took notice of the fact that Yaakov is capable of galvanizing this latent quality. And then, when he found out for the first time that it was Yaakov, not Esau, so he said, so first he trembled. And then he said, Gambor here. Chazal say that he trembled because he saw the genin pursue attack. Now the question arises, Yitzchak had so much contact with Esau. And even before he became blind, so he had contact with him. He knew that Esau was in his sight. So until this moment, he did not take notice of the genin that was open beneath his feet, beneath Esau's foundation. And only at this moment, he took notice of the genin that was open beneath Esau's foundation. The answer is, Yitzchak knew very well that Esau was driven by certain instincts that ordinarily are the source of evil. But Yitzchak hopes against hope that someday he'll channel these instincts properly. He'll sublimate them. But at this moment, Yitzchak took notice of two facts as to which he was mistaken after this moment. Yitzchak was mistaken as to two facts. In his disagreement with Rivka. And Rivka was right on both points. First, he was mistaken as to Esau. Yitzchak thought that Esau will ultimately acknowledge that he has to impose a curb on his energy and to channel his energy properly and sublimate his energy to a lofty level. He was mistaken in that, and then he was also mistaken as to Yaakov. He thought that Yaakov is incapable of galvanizing a spirit of aggressiveness, a spirit of keach and ruah in himself. As a result of this incident, of this so-called fraud, Yitzchak realized that he was mistaken in both points. Rivka was right on both points. First of all, he said he took notice of the difference between the call of Yaakov and the call of Esau. By Yigash Yaakov and Yitzchak of Esau. By Mishael. By Yina Akeo Kel Yaakov. By Yadayim Yidayim. In other words, the call was the call of Yaakov, and the Adayim is Yireh. Now the call is the call of Yaakov, and the Adayim is Yireh. So he knows that it's not Esav. It's not Esav. So how could he think that it was Esav? The answer is, as Eben Ezra explained, that Yitzchak, that Esav and Yaakov, as it often happens among twin brothers, both had the same voice. Same voice, exactly. The same tone, the same timbre. There was nothing to distinguish between the tone of Esav and the tone of Yaakov. Otherwise, Rivka could not even have hoped to deceive Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a highly intelligent person. He was blind. But how could he be deceived if the tone of the voice of Yaakov was different than the tone of your voice of Esav? The tone was the same because they were brothers, twin brothers. But what does it mean, Akol Kol Yaakov? This is a fact that explains it. That it doesn't have reference to the tone, but to the words. Akol Kol Yaakov is reference to the words employed by Yaakov. Now, how did Yaakov talk? Yaakov, he says, Vayimah Yaakov Lovi. Onoichi, Esav Tzerecho, Otisi Kasha Dibar Toilai, Kumno. His words were saturated with politeness and dignity and gentleness. Kumno, no! He expresses politeness. Shvor V'yochlo Mitzedi, Bavur Tivachani Nasecho. Vayim Ayit Chokav Noi, Mazem Yehar Tori Tzedi. How were you able to make it so fast? Yitzchak didn't know that he had all the matanim ready. Almighty God gave me speech, and he said, Adishem Alekecho, Hashem, your God. Now Esav was not in the habit of mentioning God's name and mentioning the Shem Avaye and the Shem Elokim, both together. In the audio, the father said, in Shogro Bifi Esav. So he said, Akol Kol Yaakov, the call, meaning the words, are the words that defeat Yaakov. For the first time I hear Esav talk that way, with dignity, with politeness and gentleness, and with God's name on his lips. Esav never has God's name on his lips. So the Torah says, the Lord is here. He did not discern him. On the contrary, Esav has all the proof for his conviction, for his heretofore conviction, that Esav had all the potential that was necessary for spiritual parenthood of the Jewish nation. He only has to get the proper affectionate attention from his parents, and Yitzchak might have blamed it on Rivka. She did not give him all the time the proper affection. Now he sees that through the affection that he showered upon Esav, so he's completely changed. It's already the curse for Yaakov. Now, on one hand, he has the spirit of Teach and Gvura. He has the perseverance to fight back and to give away his life for something that is precious for him. But up to this moment, he did not channel it properly, but now Yitzchak thought he began to channel his excessive energy properly, and he's going to supplement it to the rest of the level. So and then he said, Vayimea, Atos the Bni Esav, Vayimea, Oni, and then he said, so he pronounced his bracha. But then, no sooner than Yaakov had left, so Esav came in. So Vayimel Yitzchak of Ishmiyoto, Vayimel, Ani Bincho, Koyrucho, Esav. First of all, the fact that he did not mention the no. No is always an expression of gentleness. Before, Yaakov mentions no. And here, he said, Ani bincho, freicho, עשו. Now there is a distinction, there is another distinction. Yaakov used the term Onoichi. Onoichi. And Ani, and Esav used the term Ani. Now the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos says that the word, the term Onoichi, is derived from excuse me, I don't remember what kind of affiliation it is. Das Kufay in Shabbat. Nitrichen is the abbreviation of Ano, Nasi, Sivas Yavis. I myself, Onoichi Alishem Rajah. So the Nitrichen of Onoichi is Ano, Nasi, Sivas Yavis. I gave a script to Israel. In other words, Onoichi really is reference to God. How is it that a person can use the term Onoichi in reference to himself?